Oh, you're good. I think just listening and singing and worshiping, and you know, we're going to see a victory. The hymn of heaven, standing with the saints and shouting. And I would just be amiss if I didn't this morning maybe just make one more plug. Gentlemen, if you're available on Saturday morning to join us for a Pancakes and Purity breakfast at 8 o'clock next door, there's a pandemic sweeping our nation, and it's just gutting the church of Jesus Christ. And God has called us to see victory, to walk in victory. And there is victory, and there is power, and there is strength, and there is restoration, and there is hope. But you don't find it sitting and staring. You find it battling on your knees and fighting alongside other men. And I want to invite you to that breakfast that God might stir in your hearts a change, a move. Man, a whole revolution in the hearts of men in our church that might spread fire to the world around. So please, if you can at all be a part of that, really ask you to prayerfully try to move heaven and earth to join in and see what God might say to you and speak. Maybe it's not even for you. Maybe for some other guy in the battle. Maybe for your son, for your daughter. So don't miss that. Don't miss that. Robin, I need an awkward transition here. What can you do for me? That'll work. Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right. Thank you for my sermon notes. I got these sermon notes from Robin. This is kickoff weekend for the NFL, guys. And some of you, like, listen, the first step in recovery is admitting you have a problem. I have a problem. I admit that. And I'd like to say I'm working on it. But, it's important that we don't, enable people. We had some friends this week give us tickets to the Colts-Jags game. Josiah, would you stand up real quick? Wearing his Jags nonsense. But even worse than that, Jamie, would you stand up, please? The heck? What is going on in my family here? We should spin around so everybody can see what you did there. That's a Jags jersey. That's not a Colts jersey. That's a Jags jersey. Jamie's playing both sides pretty even, right? And Jed's next door helping kids because he can't take it. So it's a good deal. So just so you know, I'll be high-fiving you on the way out the door because we have tickets to get down to see the Colts. This is our priority for sure. And we love you. But can I just say, hey, it was great to see you right now so that I have to say it at the end and we can just get the car and go. I don't know. If you're a Colts fan, this really means it's the race to the bottom weekend for you, right? You're getting ready to roll. This is going to be good. Robin just pointed something out this morning, Rusty, that you picked all these songs kind of based on football this weekend. Is Springer? Yeah, good you're here, buddy. One of the songs hits this idea of the Giants fall, so that's beautiful. That's beautiful. We're going to see a victory for the Colts, and then the Saints are going to roar. So I don't know, Grice isn't here today, but I don't know what all that means. But hey, listen, I love football. It's a problem. I admit it, and I try hard to keep it in its right place. But I do really love football. And I just want to say, love it or hate it, you can't deny the impact of football on our culture. Maybe especially the NFL, but all the way through, right? All the way through. And if you don't believe me, and let's say you're a lady sitting out there, and you're like, you know what, football is so pointless. Let me just, like, case in point, let's say you were a pianist for the church worship band today, and you were like 25 minutes late because you stayed up watching Notre Dame college football last night. Like, that could happen. Oh, sorry, I can't hear you, Robin, up here. So anyways, football's a big deal. Like, check this out. This is the top 25 all-time most watched television programs in the history of our country. Top 25. Now, you might be pleased to know that at least at the very top, the Apollo 11 moon landing comes in as number one, but it took every possible network to kind of gather those numbers. Number 10 is President Nixon's resignation, so that seems like we were paying attention to important stuff there. The MASH finale, okay. Roots part 3 there, or 8, the day after, sort of that nuclear show. And then O.J. Simpson, we all watched that, like, as a country, right? Yeah, we sure did. I remember that. But 19 out of 25 are Super Bowls. 19 of the top 25 all-time watched shows in our country are Super Bowls, NFL football games. That says some stuff, right? Now, that's all time. Let's just go to last year for kicks. The 22 most watched regularly scheduled shows. Regularly scheduled shows, right? Happening on a consistent basis. They have a season. Number one, NFL Sunday Night Football. Number two was Yellowstone. Costner helped them out there, I think. Number three, Monday Night Football. Sorry, what did I say? Sunday? Monday. Well, Jesus got first on Sunday. Okay. So Sunday night, Monday night, and then a couple of crime shows, and then Thursday Night Football, right? Here's what's crazy. Three of the top six shows last year, regularly scheduled, were football shows, right? There were programs that were centered around a football game. And they only were on for like 17 weeks, and they still made three of the top six, right? It's kind of crazy. Whether you like it or you don't, you just got to admit that football is a pretty interwoven part of the fabric of the culture that we engage in and we do life in. It's one of the reasons we do fantasy football here as a church, right? Because we realized early on that a whole bunch of guys could throw out a whole bunch of quotes about what some dude said in a press conference, or could drop a whole bunch of statistics about a football team, but couldn't remember a Bible verse or where it was found at all. So we decided, let's not beat them, let's join them. We'll do fantasy football, but you got to do some Bible verses along the way. And you got to memorize, and you got to go head-to-head in your Bible verse competitions. It's great stuff, right? It just ties around football. So love it or hate it, can't deny its impact. And you might hate it. It's fair. It's fair. You might hate it, right? I don't want to have you raise your hands because I don't want people to be mad at you in our church. But like, you might not really love football. You might raise your hand because your dad likes the Patriots, and that's, there's a lot of issues, right? Every family has their problems, girls. It's okay. But you might have some valid reasons for really not liking, at least particularly the NFL and professional football. I could see some. Maybe you feel like it's worshiping a false idol, right? Maybe you sit here as a Christian singing the hymn of heaven with your hands raised at the top of your lungs, proclaiming the greatness of our God. And for you, you're a little resentful that a whole bunch of, 60,000 people are going to stand today, and they're going to scream, and they're going to yell, and they're going to cheer, and they're going to cry if you're a Colts fan. And you're going to have all these emotions tied to watching a bunch of sweaty dudes play a game on some grass, right? And you might say, you know what, that's out of balance. That's a little bit messed up. We ought to be able to bring that same kind of passion and excitement to screaming and cheering about the Savior of the world that we bring about a really close play on fourth down, right? And we shouldn't probably get maybe that caught up in it in comparison. I think that's a fair criticism. I think I do, right? I love football. And Jamie and I have some rules, right? Like if I'm watching the Colts, she ignores me. That's kind of the rule. And I'm not really allowed to be mopey or whiny, right? I mean, you know what it feels like when your team that you love with all of your heart in a very unhealthy way totally disappoints you, and the rest of your night is ruined, possibly the whole week. Well, it's not all right to then be a horrible husband or a horrible father, right? I enjoy having some of the young guys at our house. We're going to start doing some young guy hangouts, watching some football so I can, you know, critique how bad they are at watching football and being good. But what's funny is the emotions I see in young people help me not be quite so ridiculous, right? I mean, if you've ever watched my son and Josh Murray watch a Jags and Colts game, the flailing, the weeping, the throwing, the screaming, the people on the ground in disbelief. I mean, there's some passion there. And what we got to do with our young people is help channel that right to Jesus. So what I'm saying is, if you can come to church, Josh, you just missed your big speech, buddy. You'll find it on the internet. If you come to church with that same kind of passion, that's fine, right? Have some integrity. If you're going to yell and scream when the Colts do something good, then you ought to yell and scream during sharing time when God did something good, right? That's fair. I can see that. But as a Christian, you might find that it's a little out of balance in our culture, and I wouldn't deny you that. And maybe there's a little thought in there, fellas or ladies, if you're pretty live or die with your football team, maybe there's a little bit of a check there to say, hey, maybe I need a little balance. You might say to yourself, it is horrible stewardship, the use of money. We got millionaires fighting with billionaires, and we got people who are starving and don't have clean drinking water and don't know about Jesus, and we're dropping millions and millions and millions and millions and even up to billions of dollars on this ridiculous game of football. I can't argue that. I can't argue that. Man, can you imagine if the NFL quit worrying about its bottom line and started worrying about sharing the gospel with the world? How those resources would look? Crazy, right? And as a follower of Jesus, you might have to say, am I spending my money on football and that's all going to rot? Or am I spending my money on the kingdom and the eternity that hangs in the balance for so many people? Where are my resources going in relation to sports and stuff that doesn't matter? That's a fair conversation. That's a fair thing to kind of chew on as a fan of football. I challenge you to think about that. Maybe you hate the self-promotion, pride, and selfishness. I don't see it. I don't see it. Just kidding. That's all the NFL is, right? Me, 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 me. Look what I did in your face. Stomp on your head. Woohoo. Let's do a little celebration dance. And listen, if you have integrity, and maybe this is where I should step up, like maybe I drop a really good line in a sermon, I need to throw down my Bible and be like, in your face, John, woo, right? Maybe that's integrity. No, I'm just kidding. So much selfishness and pride and arrogance and just so consumed with the flesh. I could see a real kind of distaste, right? As a follower of Jesus saying, is this what I want to hold up as role model citizens for my sons and my daughters to chase after and be like, or my friends, right? Now, let me just say that there are some really good people in the league and in football teams across America and coaching and high school and college and pro levels. Not everybody there is wicked and evil and sinful. We got people there who are trying to shine the light of Jesus. Some of them we fired here recently from the Colts. But, you know, there are people who want to make a difference and who are trying to follow Jesus in that walk of life. So I don't want to just put everybody in that basket, if you will. But, man, as a high percentage, you know what it looks like, right? You might hate the NFL because you're tired of biased social and political agendas. I don't even know what to say about that other than I don't see it. I don't know what you got. We all have some strong opinions about sports and politics and the mess and the agendas and the manipulation, and it's kind of rough to navigate. And as followers of Christ, I think we ought to be discerning about what we consume, what we support, how we do it, all of those things, right? I am guilt-free because somebody gave me tickets today, so I can't be held accountable. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so the point of it is we got to be careful what we do with the resources, time, energy, money that we have, what we promote, what we celebrate, what we hold up as ideal, right? And maybe you're a wife and you believe that your husband loves football more than he loves you. Woo-hoo! Ouch, man. Now, I was going to put wife up here, but I'm going to be honest. In all of my years of ministry, I have never had a husband come to me and say, dude, here's the thing, man. My wife, we get home, she just sits on the couch all Sunday afternoon. She's watching football. She won't help. She won't care about us. She won't even talk to us. She won't even be involved. No, it would not be awesome, Tracy. I'm just saying. No, you'd be in big trouble, both of you. So I'm going to lose that. But you know what the NFL stands for? Not feeling loved, ladies. That's what it stands for, right? Not feeling loved. The number of wives I talk to who share that. But here's the thing, guys. What a horrible thought that your wife might feel like you love sports more than you love her. Or that you love anything else. Your job, your car, your money, right? Whatever it is, more than you love your wife. There's a real danger here because if we're not careful, we can get consumed chasing the things we desire and communicate some things that, man, we ought not to communicate. And most of us excuse the behavior, but we ought to hold ourselves a little bit accountable to the idea that where we spend our time, energy, and resources communicates what we really care about, right? And if it's all going to sitting on the couch watching TV, ignoring our family, that might be a problem. Well, love it or hate it, it's kind of probably here to stay in our culture, and we got to figure out how to navigate it well, don't we? Because God's called us to be the church in the midst of this world and this culture that we're in, right? Even on opening day, weekend of NFL football. Thursday, I know, was opening day. I'm a fan. I know what I'm saying. I'm just saying this weekend, right? Big day today for a lot of people. Hearts aflutter, excitement building. We got to navigate some things as the Church of Jesus Christ and make sure we're not missing what's super important. The church gets painted in some interesting images in the New Testament. We have things like the family of God, right? That we are adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. And it's a beautiful picture of relationship and belonging. We have pictures like the body, right? The body of Christ, that he is the head and we're the parts, and all together we make up this amazing body together. Some cool imagery. There's other images like household. We're the household of God with our roles and responsibilities and where we function and reside. There's ideas like bride of Christ, this idea of covenant relationship imagery that we are called to be set apart, to be reserved for, and to fall completely wholly in love with our Savior, Jesus Christ. This idea of branches, that he's the vine, and that we spring out of the rootedness we have in Christ, and we find our strength and our support and our power and our resource in the roots of who he is. The idea of flock, right? The good shepherd, that we listen to his voice and we follow him as he leads us to good pasture. The idea of God's building, that the foundation of the apostles, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ that we're built up into. There's some cool, cool images as we think about the church. And this has tons of holes and tons of flaws, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for even trying it, so don't tell Jamie. But what if Paul were here today talking to a culture that's consumed with 19 out of the 25 most watched shows being Super Bowls, 3 of the top 6 weekly programs being football? What if Paul was here today? Do you think it's a stretch? Yes, it probably is, that he might say, hey, church, you guys are the football team of God. Just humor me, just for a minute. I'm not changing scripture. This isn't better than what they said. Let me promise you that. But what if we take a look at the concept of the football team of God through the lens of what scripture teaches us about who we are as the church, and maybe make some parallels to a metaphor and an illustration that's real clear. In my Bible class, I've been talking a lot this week and hitting some things like reaping and sowing, right? And when you say reaping and sowing to a bunch of kids in Hamilton County, they're not sure if you're talking about a seamstress, and they don't even know about the reaping situation, if that's like dangerous or what's going on. We recognize reaping, sowing, right? We're talking about like sowing is planting, reaping is harvesting. Well, that's because we live next to some cornfields here. We know it, we see it, right? The culture understands different illustrations and pictures. And I think this is an interesting one, at least, to explore. Now, if we were going to be the team, the football team of God, Eric Grice would argue that we probably would need to be called what? The saints, right? And I can't argue that. The agios, the holy ones of God, right? We're addressed like that constantly in scripture. But I just always go back to Jesus, his triumphal entry, the pinnacle moment of his ministry here on earth. He didn't ride a saint, right, on a piggyback. I mean, he got on a colt and he rode into Jerusalem, and it's so clear. It's not even a question. So I think we got to kind of use that as our main backdrop. And I'm going to try something else here real quick this morning with you. I've been working on this, and I don't know if this is sacrilegious or not, but probably is. Yes. Just say yes. Come on. Come on. I've been working on a new Bible translation. I call it the New Football Language Bible. And if we use the New Football Language Bible to unpack some of these scriptures, I think we'll be able to see what it looks like to be the football team of God. Let me walk you through like Romans chapter 12, a couple of verses here, right? Just take a look. This is what the scripture says. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's a great translation, and it's a great picture, and it's better than the football team of God image, I promise. But if we turn to the NFL, New Football Language Bible, it would read something like this. For just as each one of us has one team, with many players, and these players do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one team, and each player belongs to all the others. That's an image I could get around. Yeah, that makes some sense. we're all part of this amazing team that God has assembled. We're all individual players. We don't all have the same function, but we're part of the same team trying to accomplish the same goals, and we all belong to each other. I like it. I like it. You guys cool with that? Good. Okay, then we're going to go a little deeper. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can follow along in your Bibles if you want to. It might get a little hairy here. We're going to look at verses 12 through 27 because this is probably the pinnacle scripture of the image of the body of Christ and what it looks like to be the church as in a metaphor kind of image, this body that's complete in Christ. It looks like this. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all its parts form one body. So it is with Christ. Now, I don't want to change that truth, so don't cross out in your Bibles and write this stuff over it, okay? But if we apply the NFL New Football Language Bible to this text, it might look something to the people in our culture and maybe to those of us who have a football problem. It might read like this. Just as a team, though one, has many players, but all its many players form one team. Makes sense? So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one team. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, doesn't really matter. Offense, defense, right? I could stick that in there. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the team is not made up of one player, but of many. It's a good picture of what the church is called to be, right? We are to be united in Jesus Christ, unified as one team together. Different parts, different players, but one united football team of God. Now, if the guard, say foot, offensive guard, should say, because I am not a quarterback, I do not belong to the team, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the team, right? You don't get to just say, hey, you know what? I'm not a quarterback. I'm just an offensive lineman, so I'm not really part of the team. We would say, no, that's pretty stupid. There is a big team, and everybody has a part. And if we're going to accomplish our goals, we need everybody to play their part and be involved and fulfill the roles that the coach assigns them to, right? And if the ear, or in this case, the running back, please come back, Jonathan. We need you so bad, my friend. Oh, okay, sorry. Thought that might help. I don't know. I should say, because I am not a linebacker, I don't belong to the team. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the team, right? Makes sense. It's just a great picture. Your role and your position doesn't define whether or not you're on the team. You're part of the team if you're on the team and you got a role to fulfill, so just fulfill the role you're fulfilling. And don't get caught up in trying to be somebody you're not. Be who you are, right? That's important. If the whole team were a defensive back, where would the sense of hearing? No, where would the sense of offense be, right? Or if the whole team were a quarterback, where would the sense of defense be, right? Different roles, different responsibilities, different impact. One person can't do all of it. One part can't do all of it. I mean, it makes a lot more sense. I think you might think about a two-way player who could play both offense and defense and be like, oh, I think we could make this work. Well, if your foot says, I'm not an ear, so I'm not doing anything, you're going to fall on the ground, right? Like, the body imagery is pretty powerful. You might be able to squeeze this NFL version a little bit, but conceptually, we got different roles. And if we're not fulfilling our role, it ain't happening for the team, right? But in fact, God, let's just call him the coach, the GM, the owner, God himself has placed the players in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, right? I'm sorry, team, my bad. I forget this translation sometimes. Every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Every position, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one position, where would the team be? As it is, there are many players playing multiple positions, but one team. See, one of the things we struggle with sometimes as a follower of Jesus is we want to be somebody else playing some other position that's more important or looks better or we like more instead of fulfilling the role that we were signed to. We might say, hey, I don't want to play out my contract, God. I'd rather get a different contract and do something else and be a different position on this team. Well, you can fight and you can hold out and do all those things, but you end up hurting the team and you end up hurting yourself. But Jonathan Taylor figured that out. Okay, moving on. The eye or the tight end can't say to the left tackle, I don't need you. And the cornerback can't say to the safety, I don't need you, right? They need each other to accomplish the goal, to win the game, right? They need each other. On the contrary, those positions of the body that seem to be, those positions of the team that seem to be weaker, we'll just say kickers, are indispensable, right? You need a good kicker on your team. You need one. If you don't have one, you're going to lose a lot of games. We know we're the Indianapolis Colts. Ask us, right? You got to have a good kicker. And the positions that we think are less honorable, like maybe the big smelly offensive linemen, well, we treat them with special honor, right? And the parts that are unpresentable, like the scary looking defensive linemen, those guys, they're treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts, those slot receivers who think they're all that, right? They don't need any special treatment. That should just be a quote in every locker room, I'm just saying. But all of these positions have value and they matter to the success of the team. And we rank them based on a whole bunch of different things. But at the end of the day, a good team has all the roles filled well to accomplish the goal. God, our coach, right, has put the team together. And what's cool about our God is he's given greater honor to positions that lacked it so that there should be no division in the team, but that all its players and all the positions they play should have equal concern for each other. What a cool picture of a real team. And we see this on an athletic field when people care about each other, they're committed to each other, and they're playing for each other. They have far more success than when they're chasing their own selfish ambition and their individual accolades. If one player suffers, every player suffers with it. If one player is honored, every player rejoices with it. Sounds a whole lot like rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. A picture of what the church is called to do and to be together in relationship. I love this. Now you are the team of Christ, and each one of you is a player on it. Now, I don't know if that helps at all to look at that passage through the NFL translation. And you might have got caught up with too many words changing to really focus. And you might be sitting there saying, I don't even know what those positions were, and I even care less than not knowing, and that's okay. Somebody could explain it to you that you're sitting next to probably. But here's the deal. What a picture for us of a way to see the church. You know, we think about, well, we're a part of the body. I wonder what part of it. I'm just the pinky toe. Don't really... That's a pinky finger, my bad. We're just a pinky. See how insignificant it was? We're just an insignificant part of the body. But what the scripture says loudly is there are no insignificant parts. And sometimes, maybe when we use a metaphor like body, maybe for some of us we think, you know what, I don't have a pinky finger and I'm fine. So I guess I don't really need all the parts, right? So maybe just jumping into some metaphor like God's football team can help us see that if we are missing one part, the whole team is affected, right? You guys are all part of God's team. I don't know if this makes you feel better, but you were picked in Jesus' fantasy draft. He wanted you. No matter what that NFL 1000 had you listed at, he sees you, he knows you, he loves you, he wants you, he drafts you to be on his team. And he longs for you to fulfill the role that he gives you through the power of his Spirit. So in any good football situation, we're going to look at film, right? So let's break down the film of the football team of God. What we saw in those verses, just a couple key takeaways to help us on the practice field of life. Many players, but one team. Many players, but one team. God's team is enormous. And the best part is on cutdown day, if we really want to stay on the team, he lets us. And he finds a spot for us. One of my favorite things about Peyton Manning, I don't know if you know this or not, but Peyton Manning and I came to Indianapolis the exact same year together, and the Colts, man, it turned around. And I attribute most of that to Peyton Manning, but I was here then too, and I feel like there might have been some, probably not. That's fandom run amok, I think, right there, right? But one of the things I appreciated about Peyton Manning, you guys know Peyton Manning? See, you guys do know about football. See? All right, so Peyton Manning was kind of notorious for showing respect and kindness to even like the towel guys in the locker room and the lowest people on the totem pole of roles and responsibilities on the team. And it could have been that he's a really nice guy. I mean, if you make funny commercials, people think you're an amazing dude. I get it. But here's the thing. He might have just even been selfish and realized that a culture where every single person knows they're important to the whole, that's a successful culture. So I'm not trying to take away his credit or give him credit. I'm just saying he lived out a really important principle that, man, this team, it's a big team with a lot of people, and everybody matters in this team. And I think what's important to recognize is that sometimes we think individual players aren't as important as other players, and we devalue each other. And in so doing, we kind of miss the main thrust that God has put us on mission, right? In fact, another takeaway is that there are many individuals, many individual goals and agendas and ambitions and designs and desires and passions and heart things we're chasing, but there's really one goal. It's one of the things I love about football. You can have an amazing game, and you can have incredible individual performances that you feel good about, but the best football players walk away from that, and if their team loses, they're ripped up about it, and they feel like failure. Now, I don't mean it's good to just dwell in failure, but you can see the cancer in a team, famous phrase we use all the time to talk about the spread of disease within a community and a culture. You can see it in a team where somebody does great on an individual level and doesn't really care about team success and walks into a locker room where everybody's sullen from a loss and talks about, well, I sure had an awesome game. I made some great plays out there. I wasn't the problem. It's one of the reasons I don't like the NFL sometimes. But that creates a culture of junk and destruction. And man, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are called to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a baptism service here pretty soon, so let me know if you want to get baptized, just FYI, total shameless plug. But we're called to be on mission, right, to impact the world around us. And you may have your own individual mission and your own individual concepts and plans and ambitions, and God may have some important roles for you to play within that bigger goal, but at the end of the day, man, it's wins and losses, right? It's eternity, it's heaven, or it's hell. It's an eternal game we're playing here that's not really a game at all, and people's lives hang in the balance. And we can feel good about all our little individual things, but if the mission isn't getting accomplished, then it ought to kind of wreck all of us and say, what can I do better? How can I play my role even better to contribute to the success, right? Shared success, shared failure, one goal. Different skills, but equal value. This gets in the way all the time in the church. Well, if I was on the worship team, then I'd have an important job. Then I would really matter, you know? We just put people up here because we have space and we don't have enough chairs. That's why they're up here. No, I'm just kidding. That's not really it. We have so many drummers at our church. We don't need any more people up here. Let me just say. I keep asking. They're like, we don't need you. So I assume they don't need any more. That's how I take that, Rusty. Yeah, I'm just kidding. That's not true. Here's the thing. God, he gave different talents and gifts and abilities the way the Holy Spirit wanted you to be empowered for the purpose of building up the body, the team, the football team of God, right? And just you being you, fulfilling the you that you were designed and meant to be, makes the whole team successful. And if you don't, there's a hole in our team. Maybe you're really great at sending cards, or you're really great at cooking food for people, or you're really great at coming alongside and supporting and helping. Maybe you're really great at teaching. Maybe you're really great at smiling and shaking hands with people. Maybe you're really great at holding babies and loving them. Maybe you're really great at listening to a middle schooler for like 3 or 4 seconds solid straight, you know, whatever that is. Like, maybe there's some gifts and some talents that you have. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be you. And the Church of Jesus Christ gets in trouble like the football teams do when they decide, you know what, I'm worth more than everybody else here. I demand more money. I demand more playing time. I demand more recognition. I'm more important than somebody else. That culture rots and destroys a team, and it rots and destroys a church. Now, I'm not saying that to you guys because I see it all over the place in our church. I don't. You guys do a pretty cool job of treating each other with equal value. Love that whole, like, you know, the ground's level at the foot of the cross, right? It doesn't matter what you got, what you bring, and who you are, how much hair you got. Thank you, Jesus. At the end of the day, he loves us. He accepts us. And we walk together in unity, right? Different roles, but every single role matters. It all matters to the success of the team, right? We did a big initiative 2 weeks ago about volunteering, right? And there's still some papers and you can still sign up to do some stuff. This week, we're sitting down with the huge grid as all the teams start to pile. And I don't like puzzles or math, and this is pretty much just puzzles and math, but we're trying to build out these 8-week rotations where the church can be mobilized to use our roles, our giftings, our skills to try to accomplish the mission of helping people follow Jesus as faithful disciples, right? And that's the picture. Because here's the thing. You are the team of Christ, and each one of you is a player on it, and you matter so much to what God is doing and to his team. So don't think you don't. Don't neglect to fulfill who you are. Step into the space that he opens for you to serve and to impact and to be the person God's called you to be. Rise to that occasion. And if each one of us fulfill the roles God has given us, man, that impact can be pretty awesome. Now, I have it on good authority that 19 out of the last 25 most watched shows in heaven were the angels huddled around watching the church to see what was going to happen next. So let's give them something to see, and let's make heaven crowded because we are God's football team, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to win today's game, and we're going to practice hard, and we're going to discipline ourselves to be who we need to be so that we can experience success and we can win a whole lot of people and we can hoist some trophies in heaven one day together, all right? Father, thank you for silly images like football that can help paint a picture for us of what it looks like to be your church and your people. Lord, I pray over everyone here today, everyone listening, Lord, that they would feel in their spirit your quiet and gentle voice saying to them that they matter and they're important to your kingdom and to your mission. And Lord, I pray that you would help clarify for them, each one of us, the roles, the position, the responsibilities that you have for us on your team. Help us to see it and help us to embrace it and help us to walk in it in power. Because Lord, we want to impact the world. We want to win together. The lost, and make disciples, and make heaven crowded. I pray you'd help us to walk that out in the daily discipline of following you faithfully, the coach of our life, the Father who loves us, the head of the body. We're committed to that, Father. We ask that you would guide us in it. In Jesus' name, amen.